Japanese family. Welcome back to another episode of The Alchemy of Self. I hope that you guys liked my trailer for what's to come in the next couple of months. For some reason, I'm very sensitive with the seasons. And, a lot of people will say, hey, summer is where the fruit of spring is born. But for me, it's more like the deep roots that are built in the winter, bud in the spring, but fully bloom in the summer. And I really do feel those seasons that way, which is one of the reasons why I find it very difficult to get myself to push out content in the winter. I feel that it's a period of rebirth and transformation. Excuse me, not rebirth, but transformation, right? Where things that were headed in one direction culminate and then they kind of die, right? But they don't go away forever, right? The same flowers that die in the fall, they go into the soil, they provide the nutrients for the soil. And it's kind of contained there as potential, right? And that's kind of how I treat the seasons. I treat them as stages of different types of potential that you can do different things in, depending on what, I guess your demeanor, your energy, the things that you kind of vibe out with. I know some people are hugely active in the winter. And it'd be interesting to see any of my astrology buffs out there if there's a correlation with being born in a specific month, being a specific sign, and kind of how you handle the seasons. That's not something that I've explored a lot. As you know, I'm not someone that dives extremely deep into astrology. I leave that for the people that that love that stuff. And not saying that it's not useful. It is. I think that astrology is probably one of the more underrated tools at our disposal. But I think for those of you that have followed me long enough, you know that I push to be much more intuitive. I don't really use many divination systems per se as what you would consider a divination system. I think more so my divination and my intuitive deciphering of information comes from kind of what is presented to me in the world outside and in the signs that show up in my everyday life. So again, not to sidetrack there, but it'd be interesting to see that. But with that being said, there is a huge, huge part of me that really likes to consider the summer as my period of kind of really coming out and putting to play all the things that have kind of been happening behind the scenes. That just so you're aware, obviously spirituality for me is not a side hustle, right? It's something that I refine on a daily basis. There's information that I get that I receive from, whether it be my own kind of musings or friends of mine who I happen to hold in very high regard, and their takes on certain things that might spark something in me. And I'm very open to kind of receiving things in that way. And that's the point of this episode, right? This episode is going to be talking about the media as a medium and the differences and similarities between how the media is used to, push people to certain points and kind of direct their energies in certain manners. And anybody who's familiar with, hexes and spells and stuff like that, the whole point of a hex or a spell is to elicit an effect on someone else through external means, outside of you literally forcing them, right? When you look at a lot of what the media does, the media is there to elicit reactions from us, right? Not only is their entire kind of pay system based on whether or not they can elicit reactions, but everything that they put inside of their content, these big media outlets, is in terms, kind of used to elicit a certain reaction from people. And I think it's very relevant because, rest in peace to everything that's been going on in the last couple of weeks. I touched the base on this with the trailer, but the shooting that just occurred with the children, just a moment of silence for them. I pray that every single one of them can enter paradise without a problem, that their souls are not maintained or held back by any force or for any reason. It's a sad, sad situation. You know, I'm not going to hop on here and say this was planned by the FBI and the CIA. I don't, you know, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. The whole point is people were lost. Children's lives were lost. And it's something that should hurt and affect our community. But the problem is that the media then uses that and it makes it the narrative, right? And it's then just calamity after calamity. Every weekend, every week, there's something else that happened. It's almost a psychic attack. And especially, you know, I have friends that aren't, you know, as spiritually kind of fortified with some of this stuff. And they find it very difficult to you know, even just turn on the TV or they'll take a break from social media because it can be a lot. It can definitely be a lot. And, you know, I think one of the main things we need to remember is we can have compassion for others. We can see the strifes of others and we can see the struggles of others without necessarily embodying them ourselves in our everyday life, in our regular occurrence. Whenever something like this happens, I tend to stay away from, you know, I don't watch the news, to be honest with you. I get my news from kind of the people around me, or you know, I'll hop on social media every once in a while to just kind of see, like, you know, if something, somebody tells me, hey, this happened, just to inform myself. But I'm very weary of my emotional reactions, right? And I'm very weary of you know, things that I might feel are triggers to me. And when I see that I might get triggered by something, I try to keep a distance from it because, again, there's no reason why you should have a girl who survived covered in blood and you're barraging her for 2 hours on national television, having her recount the traumatic episode that she just lived through, other than just for ratings, right? Like these executives and I'm not going to name the company, but I worked for a very large media company a couple of years ago. It's a newspaper company. It's one of the New York newspapers. And the internal workings of it was really disgusting. It really disgusted me. And that's one of the main reasons why it was a great paying job, but I just couldn't do it because they don't care about what's happening except for what money they can make out of what's happening. And, you know, these stories are stories that people are going to sit and read, right? And they know that. That's part of the spell. And so you have to treat media as a medium of certain energies that you can really kind of foster and continue to maintain the more you play into it, right? I talked about this briefly when I did the episode about Travis Scott. You know, I tried to be as kind of understanding as possible because there were people that got hurt. And you know, like I said, it's not a light conversation to have. But if we are going to understand that we are at war, and we are very much at war, and I don't want you to take that lightly. I don't want you to take it metaphorically. I don't want you to take it symbolically. Humankind has been at war for thousands of years. Our ancestors knew that and they prepared for it, right? They had protection. They had rituals that they enacted in order to strengthen their psychic bonds and their psychic protection. You know, a lot of the Marvel movies, they kind of, you know, and again, remember Marvel and all these superhero movies, you have to treat them as research, right? I'm not saying there's, you know, there's a Captain America floating around here somewhere. What I'm talking about is in between the lies, they drop little hints of truth. And if anybody has seen Multiverse of Madness, the Doctor Strange movie, they talk about a lot. They talk about the unification of different souls and different bodies and how you dreaming is actually a realm that you enter and that you are interacting with various of your souls or various of your other, quote-unquote, parts in different universes. From my understanding and from the understanding of kind of everything that I've practiced and learned, it's not too far off from the truth. At least in the part that there is other worlds on top of ours that we cannot see. And these other entities and beings in these other worlds have a way of affecting the human space and the human world. And part of those is through media. Part of those is through music, right? It's no secret that the music industry is a very corrupt industry. And where you see corruption, right? I think one of the better kind of ways to describe it is when you see things that are like physically rotting, or there's, this bad smell, or just visibly things are just dirty, and that's where these negative entities like to reside. They love to reside in that, right? And that's why when you read the Bible, or the Quran, or various of the holy books, they talk about why cleanliness is close to godliness. Because when you clean the space, and when you have that that ability to have a clean space, you're essentially purging these energies that these entities feed on to remain. That's why when you see somebody, like, for example, who's suffering from mental illness, and like I'm talking about like psychotic breaks that could be, kind of demonic possession realistically, one of the first things that they lose is their ability to keep themselves clean, to maintain cleanliness in their lives, and within themselves, within, their immediate environment. It's a very sure sign that there's something there. There's some type of energy there that's causing that clutter, causing that. So, not to stray away from the point, but the whole point is, you can see signs of these worlds, and our ancestors saw the signs of those worlds, and they understood them very well. They had a good way of depicting them and understanding how the energies worked, understanding how to protect themselves from them, right? Think about it like this, right? A physicist comes in and tells you, hey, radiation is bad. You can't see radiation, but you know it's there. How do you know it's there? Well, now we have ways to measure it. But what is radiation really? All we know is that it's an energy, and that it affects us negatively if we're exposed to it too long. But what is it? Do we have a deep enough understanding of whether or not radiation has an effect on spiritual aspects of existence? The ancients they seem to think so. They seem to think that radiation carried certain waves of energy, particularly, radiation that came from stars and planets and stuff like that. It carried certain wavelengths of energy. It carried certain weight behind it. And so again, with that same thing in mind, it's not too far off for you to consider that in this exact world we live in, there are things that are sentient, but we just can't see them. We can't necessarily, or I don't want to say we can't see them. We have been distracted away from our methods of being able to be in touch with these energies and being able to manipulate them, or at least be aware of their presence, right? So, one of the most important things that we need to do during this time, especially since it seems like they're really ramping this stuff up like tremendously, is strengthen our psycho-spiritual boundaries, right? We should not be sitting there watching the news on repeat, no matter how traumatic it is. Like, yes, we know life is traumatic. I think anybody who's born after the 90s, we've lived through some pretty traumatic stuff. Not just even just in the last couple of decades, or excuse me, and not in the last decade, but even, 9/11, right? A lot of stuff has happened. And it's always the same pattern, right? It occurs, the media drills it into the head. Fear-mongering, fear-mongering. Distrust, it sows a lot of distrust between groups. So it serves a political tool as well. And we all know politics is dirty, so let's not even go to why they would want to do that, right? But with that in mind, we have to protect ourselves. And again, meditation, obviously, one of the greatest forms of protection, because it lets you sift through, lets you be and quiet that side of your mind that might not be able to quiet itself at that moment or at that time. It also helps you distinguish between what is your thoughts and what might be thoughts that have been implanted. And for my skeptics, right, who are like, well, what do you mean? You can't brainwash people. Like, yeah, you need to research what the CIA has been doing for the last, 30, 40, 50 years. They basically picked up off of Hitler's research on those things on possession, on brainwashing, And again, just, you know, just look up what MKUltra is. It's an actual research project. You probably won't find too much on its successes, but you'll see that they really did. They put a lot of money behind this because they saw and understood that there was something of use with this methodology. And so to the public, they say, oh, yeah, you know, don't worry about that. But then clearly, politically, they're able to manufacture these tools that specifically target certain parts of the brain, specifically, you know, affect certain centers that are responsible for fear reaction. Those sensors, when triggered, cause a lowering of psycho-spiritual boundaries and make it more easily suggestible to people. Certain words are able to be triggered, right? What is a spell? A spell is a collection of words with intention that has the ability to essentially either affect someone directly or change the reality of them around them. And so we just need to be very careful with the games that are being played and how much we choose to engage, right? Now, I'm not saying completely isolate yourself from society. But I, you know, I for myself, I keep my interactions with people to a minimum. You know, I have my friends, I love my friends, but to me, I need to keep kind of my peace intact. And some of my friends might not be the most aware of kind of a lot of this stuff. They play into it a lot. And so for me to keep my peace, it's not that I'm like, oh, I'm better than you because I don't live. No, they can engage, but I don't have to. And that's what I mean is you don't have to engage. You don't have to debate on what's going on. The debates don't go anywhere, right? Like right now, it's the whole gun debate all over again. They don't go anywhere. I am not a fan of a government stepping in and taking away the weapons that a people can use to defend themselves. Now, I'm not trying to make a politicized statement. I'm talking about an objective fact that if the government takes away people's guns and that same government chooses to do and pull a China or a North Korea or a Russia, people will not be able to defend themselves, period. That's just a fact. You can't argue against that because that is a fact and it's been proven in history. So I don't agree that we should just give up all our arms. I also don't think that people should be walking around with AK-47s or assault rifles or things like that, right? And again, I'm not making a politicized statement. I don't want this to be taken as, you know, that I agree with one side or the other. I disagree with both sides. I think there's a more practical solution that can be had for both sides. And that, you know, this is just a politicized move by both ends. But the whole point being is, I don't have to debate. I don't have to play into the narrative. I don't have to write think pieces on Twitter or Instagram about this. I don't have to sit and argue with people, constantly barrage them. Because guess what? The truth of the matter is, you're probably not going to change somebody's mind on Twitter. How many interactions on Twitter have you seen that actually end with like, hey man, like you really changed my mind. I'm no longer going to be the way that I was because you brought to light the facts of the situation and now I'm a better person. I've seen a couple. I've been on Twitter for about 8 years though, and I've only seen a couple that end that way. Most of them just end with either side even actually isolating themselves more, or it just turns out into, it devolves into just full-blown disrespect for both sides. So it's not a productive environment to engage in. You could actually almost argue that those scenarios cause even more of a rift between the unity that we as human beings should be embodying, right? And I think that that's kind of one of the big things that we need to realize is, how do you recognize a psyop? Well, does it bring people together or does it divide people further? Is it something that is very ambiguous in the way it's reported and it's kind of very, you know, appealing to emotion? Or is it being factual and being brought about in a way that informs people and that it allows them to make better choices moving forward? Right? That's kind of one of the best ways, you know, like I said, outside of regular meditation, outside of fasting, you know, there's certain crystals that you can use for psycho-spiritual protection. You know, I carry amethyst a lot. One of the people that I followed on Twitter, I think, and you guys have heard me mention him many, many times before, Kenzu, the reminder, you know, he talks a lot about lapis, lazuli, as a great stone. And yeah, the ancient Egyptians used to, they used to carry that, and it's, it's found everywhere, for a reason, because it does have a certain effect on the psycho-spiritual boundaries and psycho-spiritual protection of people. And so, things like that, prayer, right? Prayer for the right mind, prayer for the rightness of thought, prayer for refined, the refined abilities to distinguish between what's something that you should engage in and what you something that you should not get engaged in. Because again, it is something that takes a toll on people. And like I've said many times before on this podcast, if you're feeling something physically, there's always a spiritual tie to that. Things do not happen independently. We don't experience things in an isolated fashion. This is a world that is very much cause and effect in many, many different ways. And just because we don't know the cause and only feel the effect does not mean that there isn't a cause there to begin with. And that's what is the biggest kind of drive home that I want to make, is we need to be aware. And if we don't know, then it's right. Like, for example, if you come into an area, let's say, somebody has never gone camping before. I'm an avid camper, I love it. But somebody who's never gone camping before, they might come into the forest and not have any idea. So what's the best way to go about it? Is it, let me just go into the forest, to complete pitch darkness, no fire, no nothing, and just kind of wing it? Absolutely not, right? I think even common sense tells you that that's probably not a good idea, because a part of you knows that there is dangers that lurk in that forest. I'm not saying that the forest is out to kill you, but there are dangers that lurk, and so you probably want to be, safe rather than sorry. Well, that's the same approach we need to take nowadays with our spiritual development and our spiritual and psycho-spiritual boundaries, excuse me. If we don't know, it's better to not engage. If you're not sure, it's better to not engage. If you're weary about something, it's better to not engage. You know what I'm saying? You feel off about somebody? Don't engage them. Listen to your intuition. Trust me, your intuition is so good. It really is. And it gets better the more that you're able to listen to it, and the more that you refine yourself through your spiritual practice. So listen to your intuition when something just seems wrong, even if it's, oh, well, let me write this post and let me argue on Twitter. Don't do it, because you're feeding something. You're feeding something. You're giving your energy to something. You're feeding something. You're taking your energy away from something else you could have been doing, and it's engaging in a way that could be negative, and it is negative to society as a whole, right? And I think the most important part of, the media is that it tries to affect society as a whole, not just individuals on a certain level. That's the key there, because we need to be thinking on the societal level and on what we can do as a society to better the living standards and kind of the circumstances of those around us. And the enemy is very much involved in that question of how they can make it worse, and how they can keep people subjugated and divided. And our purpose then should be the complete opposite, which is to fight back in a manner where we are not divided, we are not subjugated. And that starts by not putting junk that they want to feed us into our mind and engaging in it for extended periods of time. You want to do something for those kids? Pray. You want to do something for those kids? Pray. You want to do something for those kids? Fast. With spiritual intention, pray to your ancestors that something can be done. But that unity needs to be there. Because again, the media is just there as a divisive tool. It's a divisive political tool. And unfortunately, we still have not learned as a society to not trust the media. We think that it's this thing that's keeping us informed, and that we need it. We need to have the media to tell us what's going on all over the world. Why do we have to know what's going on all over the world? When your ancestors were alive and they didn't have, internet and cable, they didn't know what the heck was going on. The people in Machu Picchu didn't know what was going on in South Africa. The South Africans didn't necessarily know what was going on in the northern parts of Russia, right? But there was still a very, very obvious unity that connected all these different, peoples across ancestors, across time, and across places, literal land masses. And that's what we need to be getting back to, right? that connection, reconnecting to that, and disconnecting from the, from this fake, overly hyped machine that is the media machine. It's particularly here in the United States, but now it's becoming a global thing, right? These companies have that were you know, birthed in the US now become global, and now everybody's in on it. And now you have people from the UK arguing with Americans about guns, and you have people from South America talking about their situations with guns in their countries, and you have people in Africa talking about what happened here, and you have Utrecht, and you have Denmark, and you have all these different places, and everybody has an opinion, but there's no solutions. And that should be an obvious sign, again, of that you're being tricked when you're engaging in a loop of discussion, argument, and nothing is actually being done. Nothing is being solved. You might feel, oh, well, I sure made that point. That's completely useless. You could have not made that point and still felt that way. But you engaged. And again, that's what we need to be aware of. That's what we need to stop. We need to put a halt to that and create a rhythm where we are selective of the information that we allow in through our filter and what we choose to bring about every day. Because like I said, I've said this many times in this cast, your mind is so powerful. It literally creates the reality that you live. If you sit there and all you're inviting in is these negative situations, these negative things. Oh, gas prices. Oh, inflation. Yes, I know that they're real things and they're going to affect you. But let them affect you when they need to affect you in life. Don't sit and have them literally boiling in your mind over and over and almost creating the situation, even though you're not physically experiencing it at that moment. Your mind is creating it. Your mind cannot tell the difference at times between what you think and what's physically happening. Especially if you're somebody who's highly intuitive and is an overthinker. Because then you're putting this highly intuitive energy to work into creating and manifesting in your mind this reality that's not even really there yet. You're causing it to be there. And then by doing that, you're reinforcing that which will keep that reality alive, and you're blocking everything that would actually change the reality or take it to a different area that would be more bearable. So take the lessons of the media as a medium and make yourself your medium. You choose what you safeguard your mind from. You choose what you ingest. Be more mindful in these coming days, particularly in the summer. Be more mindful of that which you allow to take place in your mind, whether that be the media, whether that be friends who have these political opinions that they feel they need to share with everybody, whether you have family members or you know, co-workers or teachers. You don't have to engage them. There is no victory to be had in that at times. Yes, is there a place for public discourse? Absolutely. But again, be intuitive about whether or not the public discourse is actually elevating the conversation or if it's keeping you down in the mud with them. That's all I had to say about that. I'd love to hear some comments. I'd love to hear some feedback. If anybody, you know, has some voice notes they want to send for me to answer for the next episodes, please feel free, leave me a voice note. I do go through all of them. I try to reply back to anybody who does ask me some questions. And like I said, moving forward, if anybody wants to have their voice note featured in the podcast as a question or as a comment, I will gladly, you know, put them in the beginning, kind of do a little Q&A session in the beginning, and then continue with the episode. You know, I think that would be good going forward. As I know that a lot of you have wanted to engage with me in conversation, and I haven't always made myself as accessible as I'd like to be moving forward, because again, I'm talking about unity. I'm talking about elevating the conversation. And I think, again, we each need to start with our own selves. And so the way that I'll start it is by fielding these questions, is by having people ask. Again, I don't know everything. I'm not your guru, right? I'm just somebody that is concerned and has studied and is aware of certain things. And with my awareness of certain things, I want to help as many people as I can to be aware of the certain things themselves. Everything at the time that it has to happen, nothing forced, because I don't believe in forcing people awake. I don't believe in jolting them awake as I used to. And even if that came from a good place, it's just not always the best way to do it. You know, it's not always the best way to go about it. And that's what I mean about that spiritual growth, the spiritual understanding. And we need more of that from you know, the people that step up and want to speak on these things. We need more accountability on your ability to be able to transfer the information without making people feel like they're dumb or that they don't know, you don't know this. You know, we need to be much more tight-knit with the way that we elevate people and the way that we have these conversations. So family, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope everybody's having a great weekend. Everybody take care. Be safe. Wear red. I'm telling you, wear red whenever you can. I'm not saying go out looking like a blood. But, you know, if you can add some red to your outfit in the next couple of weeks, that would be great. Happy new moon to anybody fasting during this new moon. I wish you all the best. Pray for me. Elevate me in your prayers. I'll do the same for everybody, all of my listeners. I pray that everything is working in your favor. I pray that you have the ability to put yourself above and beyond the pettiness and the BS of the world. I pray that you continue to refine your practice. I pray that we all elevate each other because the world needs it. Okay. Peace and love, family. Ashe, thank you so much for tuning in. I'll be dropping another episode probably closer to about Thursday or Friday. Just so that you're aware, I'm going to make it, you know, probably one episode that I'll record during the week, but release on a Sunday and then have an episode that I release on a Friday. That way it's kind of, on a Thursday. So it'll be Sunday and Thursdays. That I'll try to be releasing these episodes for the summer. We have many, many different things to talk about. I have so much stuff that I want to get to that sometimes, like I said, I have to, you know, kind of reel myself back in the episodes, and you'll have to forgive me for that. I know sometimes I hit 50 different points, but you know, any suggestions that you have that you want me to touch base on as well, please feel free. Like I said, send me a voice note, and yeah, family, everybody have a peaceful rest of the weekend. Happy new moon. Ashe, much love, everybody.